Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm joined in Springfield by David Curtin. He is the Illinois Family Institute's lobbyist in the state capitol, and he keeps us up to date on what's happening in the General Assembly. Dave, we spoke several weeks ago, and since then, a lot has been happening in the legislature, but not a lot of action on legal-assisted suicide. Is it dead this spring? Could it pass before the legislature adjourns at the end of May, or could it be resurrected during the fall veto session, or even in 2025?
Assisted suicide is dead for now. We don't expect it to come up before the end of May. What if it comes up during veto session in the fall? Maybe. If it comes up next year, maybe. But we are just ecstatic that IFI listeners registered their opinion on so many bills down here. We have effectively scuttled a lot of legislation that would have made its way to the governor's desk. So we're not celebrating, but we are very thankful and feel very blessed that people have taken the time to register their opinions with their legislator.
Well, it seems as though assisted suicide could pop up again in 2025.
Yeah.
What should we do in the interim? Should we still press lawmakers not to pass this legislation?
Yes, it's a good idea. That's what's been working on other legislation, is the legislators have just been listening to the voters. So particularly in this election year, if you could make your opinion known on assisted suicide, that you don't want it to come up, that you don't want this in Illinois, it makes a big difference.
Well, legislation backed by several state lawmakers and Equality Illinois would legalize prostitution in the land of Lincoln. How serious a threat is this?
It's a serious threat. You know, they're just going to go down the list on the sins that they want to legalize here in Illinois. Safety for sex workers is what they're calling it. And they're calling it an income boost for the Illinois economy because we can collect taxes.
I hear in my head some of the arguments for this. Sex work is real work, and those workers are entitled to health care, et cetera. If it's legalized, the state could regulate it, provide birth control, and sex workers could be medically tested, and that could reduce the risk for disease, what have you.
Right. There's all sorts of quote-unquote benefits that they will talk about, just like they did with marijuana. They don't talk about the social costs of breaking up families, people losing their jobs and their houses and things like that to marijuana. And so the same thing with prostitution. They'll talk about those kinds of quote-unquote benefits. But what we really need to focus on, or at least one of the big thing we need to focus on, is we've taken God out of the equation here in Illinois. And so everything's up for grabs to legalize.
They're not embarrassed.
They're not embarrassed at all. Yeah. No. And because we have done that and we've all watched it happen, they are not embarrassed to go in the hallways and talk about this stuff. They held a press conference celebrating the fact that they're going to introduce this legislation. They were front and center. They had so many legislators there who were proud to stand. In fact, they use the word proud to stand there for this legalizing of prostitution or whatever we were going to do. And so we are way past the breaking point here in Illinois. So, yes, this is a very real threat. And people need to do their due diligence, pray. They need to speak to their legislator how we still believe in Judeo-Christian values and that we want Illinois to be a great state to raise your family. And little by little, they are taking away the ability to raise a family in Illinois. I just think that they are on this kick of we need to legalize all these things that are destructive to the family because we don't want that traditional family to be upheld. If we don't have that traditional family to be upheld, then we can have as many abortions as we want. People can do whatever they want. There's no constraints in society. They feel the American family is constraining them.
They're going against God's plan.
Yes. And this is Satan through and through, who's using these people as vessels, because so many people are raised in broken families and so many kids are born out of wedlock and that sort of thing. They don't see the world the way a lot of other people see it, who may be middle age. So a lot of the young people see the world in a much different way. And it's all about freedoms to do what I want, and God is not in the equation.
So parents, churches, church youth groups have got a lot of work to do.
A lot of work to do. And it starts with prayer. I said last time I've asked for your prayers because that's so important. We have stopped so much legislation, so much bad stuff down here, and we'll see what happens with the elections. But to get pro-life, pro-family people in office, but God sees what we're doing, honoring him by talking to our legislators and talking to our neighbors. And it does make a big difference here in Springfield when I talk to legislators who do talk to you. So don't think your opinion doesn't matter.
Well, despite all the hard work collecting tens of thousands of signatures, it looks like the Parents' Rights Advisory Referendum will not be on the November ballot. Democrats blocked it by putting three other advisory measures on the ballot, the limit based on the state constitution. Were the parents' rights groups outfoxed, or did they anticipate this?
No one predicted that Democrats would sink to the level that they would actually put three advisory referendums on the ballot. It didn't occur to them. It just didn't occur to them, because it's hard enough putting one advisory referendum on the ballot. But when you have your supermajority in the legislature, you can do that. This was a terrible thing that they did to block the democratic process. And it was something that they had been planning all along, to let people circulate the petitions for the better part of a year, and to come up at the last moment and say, we're already putting our three referendums on the ballot. You can't be put on the ballot.
Any legal recourse here?
No, not really. I mean, there will be legal recourse on the second part of that legislation, which is the second thing they did was, in that same legislation, they made it so it's illegal to slate candidates after the primary. Traditionally, if there's any empty slots after the primary, the Democrat and Republican parties have an opportunity to fill those with people who are willing to run. The same legislation that crowded out the parental rights amendment is the same legislation that nixed the ability to slate candidates. There's a lot of Republicans who would be facing Democrat contenders who are disappointed, but they're probably going to take legal action on that, because the governor did that in mid-election cycle, and the State Board of Elections also.
So could the parents' rights folks who tried to get this on the ballot go through the process once again, and potentially could it be successful? Or with Democratic control of the legislature, it's an impossibility?
Well, they will make that decision after the elections, because after the elections, they'll know what kind of majorities they're looking at. If they're still looking at supermajorities in the House and the Senate from the other side, then they would be foolish to start this amendment, and the Democrats would do the same thing to them 2 years from now. But if the elections shake them up, they would be able to start the process over again, and they would probably be very successful moving the parental rights amendment. There would have to be some sort of earthquake or shockwave sent to the establishment this November.
All right. Well, one of the three advisory questions that will now appear on the November ballot will ask, and I'll read this, should all medically appropriate assisted reproductive treatments, including but not limited to in vitro fertilization, be covered by any health insurance plan in Illinois that provides coverage for pregnancy benefits without limitation on the number of treatments? Well, we know that in vitro can create happy results, but human embryos are often destroyed. Mm-hmm. And reproductive treatments raises red flags. That obviously could include abortion.
Yes, it could, and that's exactly the reason why it was written. Two of the most extreme left representatives voted against this resolution solely because they did not put the word abortion in there. They put the word in vitro fertilization, because as you read, it says including but not limited to. So basically we're talking about all reproductive treatments, or at least those that are defined by as reproductive treatments, and that goes from abortion to in vitro fertilization to whatever else. So we're very clever in doing that because in vitro fertilization is popular among some pro-lifers. There's a lot of education that needs to be done on that issue, but that's the reason they did it for the advisory question.
Well, Dave, the Spotlight audience needs to vote no on this ballot question.
Yeah.
And if it passes, it will give ammunition to proponents to make it law.
That's correct. And we should vote no. We know they're in a supermajority and they'd be able to pass this legislation if they wanted to. But what they're really trying to do is between now and November, they will be spending money on an educational campaign to make you feel good about abortion and in vitro fertilization. And they're lumping all these things in the same category.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. We will continue our conversation with David Curtin, lobbyist for the Illinois Family Institute in Springfield, right after this.
With a woman to look at culture from a Christian worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. According to new data recently shared by Dr. Ryan Burge, the number of people who are currently evangelical has now dropped below the number of people who were raised evangelical. In other words, more people are leaving evangelicalism than are remaining or becoming evangelical. This shift started about 15 years ago. After all, evangelicalism has always been a growth movement with more people in it than were raised in it. In other words, from about 1900 till 2010, evangelicals were living up to their names. They were evangelizing. However, between the ex-evangelical movement and the declining regard for Christianity, some evangelicals now lack the confidence that they really have what the world needs. For others, the good news of the gospel has been crowded out by weeds of doubt and distraction. The gospel is news. It has to be shared and lived with clarity, confidence, and courage. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Lurick here. I am joined here in Springfield by David Curtin. Dave's the lobbyist for the Illinois Family Institute in the General Assembly. Got a hard job, Dave. There's so many lawmakers who really don't like IFI.
It's a different set of lawmakers than it was 20 years ago. The nuclear family was the model that we all strove for, whether you were Democrat or Republican. Today, it's just not the case, and they will tell you that to your face in the Capitol.
We used to be a pro-life state.
Yeah, used to be a pro-life state. So this didn't happen overnight, but we just have this situation where there are a lot of anti-life and anti-family policies that are being passed or being suggested that no one would ever consider 10 years ago even.
Are you seeing any signs that things are starting to turn around?
I do, but it's like we said, the last election was supposed to be a good election. The last election before that was supposed to be a good election, pro-family, pro-life election. And so I'm hesitant to say it for this time, but there are so many signs out there, so many signals. The people who ordinarily don't get this stuff now get it. And they want it to stop, the bad stuff. And they want to start promoting more of the family and life principles. So there is hope, obviously. And we know God has already won the victory. I do feel that this election, I'm hearing a lot of different things that I didn't hear before. And this time, I'm hearing a lot of people say, we're not going to take this election for granted. In other words,
they're going to show up to vote.
Yeah, ignore all the polls, or ignore everything, just run like you're 10 points behind. Don't believe any of the polls or any of the things they put out there in the media to try to make you stay home or think your vote doesn't count. So,
and if you're voting, make sure your like-minded family and friends vote too.
That's so important. I mean, just myself, I'm going to make sure that five other people vote. And yeah, that's a drop in the pond, but if people just concentrate on that, your vote is important, but if you can get a couple other people to vote and you will have done your job, make sure that you bring a couple of people to the polls with you, either physically or tell them to vote. They can even register to vote right there at the polls. They don't even have to be registered. They can cast a ballot, and it's called a provisional ballot. It'll be put in a separate box. But bring the people you can to the polls this November, because for sure, the other side is.
Dave, there's a national effort to stop non-citizens from voting in 2024. Uh-huh. It's supported by Illinois Conservative Union. You've been around politics for quite a while now. Will that effort gain much traction here in Illinois? Surely Illinois' mostly Democratic congressional delegation are going to say no to that.
Right. It probably won't gain traction here in Illinois. It will gain traction in states surrounding Illinois who are more reasonable in saying, yes, non-citizens should not be able to vote. But I think they'll be successful in some other states to make sure that non-citizens are not allowed to vote.
Well, how can you argue against that?
There is a piece of legislation signed into law that allows non-citizens to become police officers. Currently in the state of Illinois, non-citizens that came over from the border a few months ago can sign up to be police officers in the state of Illinois. That is law. If you can do that, you can have people vote. You can give them other rights.
Let me ask you about Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson. He goes to Springfield on behalf of the Chicago's Teachers Union, requesting more money for Chicago government schools. You see the proficiency standards in math, science, reading, they're poor. And you have to say, why would we give them another penny? But on top of that, they want pay raises, and they want what they call free abortions. Well, of course, taxpayers would fund those. It's hard to believe that they have the audacity to do this, but here we are.
Here we are. And they continue down that path. They know that they have a supermajority here in the legislature. They know how they have a governor who is, very sympathetic to the city. I mean, obviously, Chicago is what is the engine that drives the Illinois economy. The mayor wasn't very well received here when he was making these demands, but he'll end up with something. And the governor's already doing all he can to give him something because he wants to make sure that the convention in August goes smoothly, and he wants to make sure at least that the mayor is cooperating. You're right, the highest paid teachers, the lowest proficiency rates, it just keeps going on and on and on.
And then there's what I call the moonbeam legislation. Wellness checkups in government schools, our taxpayer-funded mm-hmm. schools, mm-hmm. and relaxation experts, mm-hmm. experts, I say that in quotes, coming into the schools for 20 minutes of relaxation time every day.
Right.
What are they up to?
Well, they're trying to take over our kids. I mean, they've got them 8 hours a day, and now they just want to indoctrinate them further and be social change agents once they get out of school. So what things you're mentioning is right up their alley. So,
yeah, there is some good news to report. The status of Illinois House Resolution 700, a measure supported by Illinois Family Institute, that asked lawmakers to place limits on THC content in legal marijuana that's sold here in Illinois.
Yeah.
What's happening?
It's a good resolution. It's not a piece of legislation that would outlaw high THC levels in marijuana. But what it would say is to the legislature that we urge you to pass legislation that would limit the THC levels. The idea behind this is that a lot of kids are suffering psychotic episodes, and they are 47% more likely to suffer a psychotic episode with this high potency marijuana, destroying a lot of lives. So,
yeah, well, it's putting us in danger on our roads and what have you.
Oh yeah.
One of the arguments against doing this, what proponents are saying, is that if you do this, customers will respond by just buying more marijuana mm-hmm. so they can get the high they used to have with the higher potency marijuana, the high THC content marijuana.
That'll be the argument, but it still doesn't take into account that a lot of kids will not be buying more marijuana because they don't have the resources, they don't have the money to do it. It also takes into account the older people who are getting kind of hoodwinked on this stuff, and they didn't know how potent it was, so they won't be in some dire straits. We've had reports of some you know, middle-aged, elderly. They've had physical health problems from the just the normal marijuana that they're serving right now. So it would lead to big decrease in the number of problems we're experiencing with kids.
Dave, this resolution has bipartisan support. So could it pass this session? And if it does, do you come back next year and ask for a law that mandates lower THC content in marijuana?
Well, it definitely has bipartisan support. I think the votes are there to pass it. It's just whether there's going to be any political trickery involved along the process, I don't know. But if we do pass it, then next year we will come back and fashion a law right after that, a fashion legislation right after that, to pass a law that would clamp down on the THC components in marijuana, not make them as potent.
What does the Illinois Family Spotlight audience, what do they have to do to help make sure that this resolution gets passed? We see some legislation that would curb THC content.
Well, the best thing they can do is call their legislator and talk to them and make them aware that they know this H.R. 700 exists, that they want it passed, and that what it would do for their family and for their neighborhood and for their schools if they pass this resolution. And so just keep the legislator's feet to the fire. Talk about it in a pro-family way, which is why we're offering the legislation, that you're concerned, mom and dad, you're concerned about your kids getting a hold of this marijuana that right now has no regulation on it whatsoever as far as potency.
Just to close out, is there some other legislation that would be pro-life, maybe pro-family, something that would help the people, the families of Illinois, that maybe we need to keep our eyes on?
Well, there's a couple of pieces of legislation that are going after child pornography, depictions of child pornography, and I think those will probably end up being signed into law. So it's not all bad news. Most people do not talk to their legislator, and so they need to have that personal approach. It's amazing what you can do by just taking that personal approach, talking to your legislator about these issues.
Thank you so much. David Curtin, a lobbyist for the Illinois Family Institute. Keep Dave in your prayers as he does the hard work of talking to some of these lawmakers here in Springfield. And if you don't know who your state lawmaker is, your state senator, your state representative, or your U.S. representative, or your U.S. senator, you just need to go to illinoisfamily.org and click on Officials Finder. Type in a little information, what you need. Phone numbers and their names will be right there for you. Please keep Illinois Family Institute in your prayers and do support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. Oh, by the way, be sure to go to illinoisfamily.org to sign on for IFI email updates. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.